Greetings, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience, a very warm, open-arm audio embrace and a squeeze. This episode is brought to you by my company, One Circle Media. One Circle Media is a hybrid digital agency and media content creator. We create and design apps, websites, videos, social media content, and physical products. We are artists, directors, designers, producers, coders, editors, thinkers, makers, and creators who embrace story and creativity from design, web and app development, animation, docs, features, TV shows, digital and social media content to physical products. For our clients, we create content that builds networks and audiences across multiple platforms. Check out our work at onecircledigital.com and onecirclebrand.com. If you work for a network, studio, brand, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Stan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Maddie K.
And John, we're still working from home. We're still in the midst of COVID. What's going on, Matt? What's going on up in Westchester, Massachusetts?
Well, I am not working from home. I have been going into work since October. So I want to clear up that misinformation about the education system because I keep hearing that we need to get... Everybody needs to get back to school, blah, blah, blah. I've been in school, so...
Wait, you've been in school since October?
Yeah, 4 days a week.
Get out of here. Full time?
Yeah. The kids are in hybrid
Non-hybrid?
No, the kids are in hybrid mode. I'm not. I've been in school, so it sort of...
Oh, so even when the kids are... So it's half in, half out,
yeah.
But you're always
cohort
there.
A,
oh, holding down the fort. When did you get the vaccine?
I got my shot yesterday, and I have another shot scheduled on April 14th.
So you've been rolling the dice for the past, 6 months?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I keep hearing, like, schools aren't open. We need to, you know, nobody's in school. I've been in school.
I could see you licking the rails, just really pushing the envelope just to see how good that immune system is.
Well, you know what's good is they told me once I get my second shot, I can start exposing myself in public again. So that's a positive.
That's good news. Yeah. That's good news. That's a positive.
Yeah.
That's a positive.
And the neighbors will enjoy it. So,
they'll enjoy it. They miss that. They got to get, you know what? Matt, it's time to get back to normal.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. It's a refreshing, it's a breath of fresh air, so to speak.
Breath of fresh air, of course.
And we've got another investment opportunity for our listeners. NFTs, better known as non-fungible tokens, which I don't know what the word fungible means. Do you know what that means?
So it is... it gives the owner the right to that particular digital asset.
Wait a minute. Goods.
What?
Able to replace or be replaced by another identical item. So that's what fungible means by itself.
Yeah, so it's basically... They're buying something that you can duplicate 1,000 times, a digital file. But the person who purchases it has their name encrusted into the blockchain forever. All right. So like, for instance, if we sold this Zoom recording of the working experience, I don't know, for what, 80,000 maybe, 90,000, somewhere around there.
Sure.
Plus or minus. That person, whoever bought it, Joe Schmo, their name would go into the blockchain, and that they bought episode, whatever this is, 409 or 410, forever. But we still retain the rights to, the intellectual rights to this podcast and to this episode that we could sell to anyone at any time in the future.
Hey, just to break, your audio, like I can hear you, but it's a little wonky. It doesn't sound 100%.
I mean, all right, you're just hearing, it's fine.
Okay.
Because it's going right into the mic. You're not hearing the actual record.
Okay. So I did some research on this. Non-fungible token. So it's a piece of art, a piece of music, whatever, a picture of something. And the record shows, it comes with a record that shows who owns a unique piece of content. So artists have really blown up. Like they create, and many ridiculous things have blown up. So they produce unique content such as an image, a video, a song, even essays have gone up there. And the record reads, so, and I'm quoting from this article, the record would read, Jenny owns the rights to this song, whatever it is, fill in the song. She purchased it from Taylor, a theoretical original creator, on 12/31/20 for $30,000. So that record is there. So that's like a record of
So that's on the blockchain.
Right, right. So that now the way people make money out of this is that basically, which I didn't realize, I don't know much about Spotify or anything like that, but Spotify is basically a middleman or an intermediary. So NFTs were developed to try to cut out that middleman. So for example, Spotify would pay an artist $4,000 for 1 million downloads. So, or like a record label or something like that. Like that's also an intermediary between the artist and making money. So Spotify's taking their cut. So when you prorate $4,000 over 1 million downloads, that's not a lot of money per download. That's cents on the dollar, I guess. Record labels take their cut too. And you don't really own the material. Like if you are, you know, John Smith, you record a song, it goes out there, millions of people love it, the record label owns that song. So you can't do anything with it without the record label.
Depending on the deal you have with the record label. But it's different with Spotify. Like Spotify wouldn't own the songs. They're just paying you royalties, but they're providing the global platform and the users that are paying Spotify. So yes, they are an intermediary, and NFTs are not the same thing.
No.
They're a little bit different, but you're right. Artists can sell unreleased music or even released music. And, you know, that person then owns that piece of, you know, that digital token, which is then recorded on the blockchain. Like, who was the artist? Is it Beal
or whatever it is? Yeah, he's really blown up.
For $69 million, he sold like a mosaic of all of his, I think it's like Instagram posts or daily posts. For $69 million. And that's a JPEG. So you could literally take what someone bought $69 million. You can literally take that, replicate it, and like keep it. It's just a record that individual owns that digital art.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what happens with Spotify is that, I didn't know this stuff. I've never used Spotify. Spotify, they don't own it, but they control how your fans see your content. So they can change your discovery algorithms, or they can just take your content down anytime they want. So effectively, I mean, they don't own it, but they own the platform by which you can get to fans. It's like a radio station. A radio station, you know, in the old days, you would either get airplay or you wouldn't. And if they pulled your song, you know, the radio stations controlled that. So, like, if theoretically Taylor uploads a new song to Spotify, gets a million hits, she gets, you know, $4,000, even that tends to get eaten up by middlemen. Like, intermediaries can just, you know, they take their cut. And again, like, record labels have been famous for, like, they give a new rap artist like $500,000 advance. Well, that artist is paying for studio time. That artist is paying for promotion.
The label's paying for nothing.
Nothing. And that all comes out of that $500,000. So the artist is left with very little. I mean, they like rent the Lamborghini for the music video. So it looks like, you know, they're just raking in
it's,
bucks.
It's very much like Hollywood accounting.
Yeah. I mean, they just, you know, like, here's your million
dollars. They rape and pillage artists.
So NFTs. So let's say Taylor, again, our artist. Taylor creates an NFT for her song. So she puts out a song called Big Maddie. All right? Number one.
Big hit. It's
going to be number one.
Big hit. Number one. Global.
I'm already writing the lyrics. I'm already writing the lyrics. So it says Taylor created this song on 12/1/20, December 1st, 2020. And she's selling ownership to fans for $20,000, let's say $30,000. So now each time, now let's say somebody buys that. Each time a fan resells the song, she gets 10% of the sale price. So she gets the initial $30,000 and then she can keep making money even after it gets sold.
So right, so the token though, not the actual buying the actual song. Like, Taylor can still sell her music on Spotify, right? And still earn royalties to it. It's the token. It's when the token gets resold.
Well, and then the fan who buys the song for $30,000, she can, let me see if I can get this math right. She can sell that, or he can sell it, whoever buys it. Maybe they resell it to another fan for $40,000. So they can make money. So that the person who bought
Correct.
It makes $10,000. But then Taylor still gets paid on that. So she gets paid
Correct.
For every sale and resale. So you're making a lot more money, you know.
Which is nice.
Right. For two
Which is great for artists. And if you look at this, sorry to cut you off, but if you look at it not just with musicians, but you can look at it for filmmakers.
Yeah.
And you can look at it for, you know, digital art. And you could do this for just about anything. I think it was Dorsey sold his first tweet. Is it Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter?
Yeah.
Sold his first tweet for like 1.6 million, was it 2.7 million? I can't even remember what it was. So, you know, the question is with this stuff is like, is this like Crazyville?
Well, just
right?
let me get back
like
to
crypto
the,
is
just to the business end of it. So, just to break it down, if Taylor puts her song on Spotify and it gets a million downloads, she gets $4,000. If she does an NFT and it sells for $30,000, she's made. If that person resells it, she's made $29,500. So she's made a lot more money off an NFT. That's, of course, and what you were getting to is this Crazyville. That is somebody going to pay $30,000 for her song? That's also, you know, that's the problem, or that's maybe not the problem, but that's the gamble, I suppose you would take.
And what the resale value of it is if it's an inflated market.
But that's the other thing. You know, like, there is no value to that. Like, to get back to what you were saying, things like this are so crazy. Like, this is why I never understand baseball cards. I never understand collector's items, first editions. Like, I don't get any of it because...
Well, it's the same thing. Do you get, like, why the Mona Lisa is worth so much money, or a Rembrandt, or a Jackson Pollock?
No.
Because the value of that, Like the actual intrinsic value of that is the canvas and the paint, which is what, a couple bucks, maybe pennies,
right.
Who knows? But the that store of value throughout time has proven to be very good. Like art, you know, artists, I mean, Picasso's, you know, they sell for hundreds of millions of dollars. You could take the Mona Lisa and you could do a high-res digital scan of it and have a replica hanging in your home that would be indistinguishable from the original Mona Lisa. Like and that's what I like to do. I like to put up all the $100 million paintings and they're like, "Hey, is that a Picasso? Yeah, that's a Picasso. It's an original Picasso."
Yeah, it's an original.
It's original. Yeah, yeah. But you can do that, and so like it's a real question of like, I think, you know, NFTs are crazy, but there you have people that are buying baseball cards for $100,000. I think is ridiculous.
No, that's what I mean. I've never understood any, like, I don't understand how they come up with $169 million for a Picasso. Like, I don't get that. It's such a self-perpetuating, you know, it's just ego, really, is what it is. I mean, it's just...
That's what it is. It's, you know, that you own this piece of asset and you're the only person in the world that... It's the same reason why someone would buy a limited edition, you know, handbag for $50,000 when you could easily have the utility of that handbag with the Italian leather and the craftsmanship for probably a couple $100s.
Yeah.
But you're, you know, 1,000xing it because it's of a limited supply. There's only one Mona Lisa. There's only one Picasso. There's only one Rembrandt. And and basically it's supply and demand, and it's extremely wealthy people driving up these prices. And if that's the question, is their NFTs, their like store of value and their longevity, like will they prove to be an asset that, like, you know, it's the same thing with like vintage cars and vintage watches. You know, it's like a vintage watch could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's incredible.
I could see appreciating the craftsmanship, or like an old car. I'm not into cars, but like, let's say you have an original Model T, you tinker with it, you appreciate the craftsmanship, you build cars yourself. That's there. NFTs, there's nothing. There is nothing.
It's zeros and ones.
Do
it's
people
a digital file.
Do they seriously sit there and look at these things and appreciate? I mean, if you bought a Picasso for $50 million, I mean, if I bought one, I stuck it on the wall, I probably wouldn't look at it after a week, you know. But you could see somebody looking at it, appreciating it, you know. I mean, I don't know why you would. It belongs in a museum to me, so everybody can appreciate it. That's what it's for. And that's what Picasso would have wanted. Anyway, an NFT, who cares? Like, do you sit there looking at your laptop? Like, wow, look at this.
No, it's more like
LeBron James picture, you know.
Well, part of it is the NBA is selling clips. I was speaking about LeBron James. I think they've done like they've sold millions of dollars of clips, video clips.
Money. The NBA needs more money.
Well, the whole crazy thing is it's just an NFT. So the NBA still retains all the rights to that clip. It's just your name in the ledger. So you don't own the clip. Like,
no.
I think there was like LeBron James dunking. I don't know the exact amount, but it might have been 100,000. It might have been 80,000 or 120,000, whatever it was. This person paid for it. That person can't take that clip and put it on their website or sell it to CBS to air. The NBA still has all the underlying rights to that clip.
But they can sell it to someone else.
They can sell the rights, the NFT, to someone else. And then the NBA would make the 10%. I don't even think LeBron James makes any money on that. I think it's the NBA's property.
People will find any way possible to spend money. But I think all of this really is just to resell. I don't think anyone cares one whit about the song or the piece of art. I mean, they just want to sell it, make some money off, you know, maybe they can make
yes and no, because what's really interesting about this for artists is this is a way to support an artist. Like, for all right, for instance, like if you were like, this is where it could be like really valuable. Like, let's say you bought Scorsese's first film that he ever made, an NFT of it, or Scorsese shot a very avant-garde fill in the blank of James Cameron, whatever it is, like a very, very big film person or director. If you bought their early work and it was an NFT, fast forward 20 years later, it could be worth 100x, 1000x, 10,000x of what you paid for it. So at the time, you're drawn to that artist's work and you want to support him or her.
Yeah, I can
so you
that.
Buy that NFT.
Yeah.
And then it grows in value over time. So that's the thought process. And I think that there's some real value in that.
Oh, there's value,
right?
To
because
that.
Like,
yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you can take that and you can use that across all these instances. What's making the news right now is the crazy high-end stuff.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So like the person who bought the how do you pronounce the artist's name? Is it Beal? Beep?
I don't know.
Whatever it is, for $69 million, that was some crypto guy that just wanted to get his name in the news and just was throwing around cash. So total ego thing. But think of a struggling sculptor or an artist where you could buy their digital art when they're a no name,
right?
And then you sit on that for 10 years and then you sell it. Because that person now is massive. And it's a way to support the artist as opposed to that artist, you know, having to support themselves or giving up on their art.
Well,
you know?
I could see, so, like, if a friend did a short film and said, hey, I'm doing an NFT. Yeah, I could see that. I could see saying, yeah, you know, I'll support you. I'll buy it for $400 or something like that. So, yeah. I mean, there are those things, and then there are... It's like going to somebody's apartment in the East Village who's a struggling artist, and you're like, yeah, I'll buy your painting for $500, you know, and then you take it, and maybe in 20
And then you
years,
store it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then... Right, exactly. It's like the... I think it was... I think one of Picasso's, like doodles on a napkin sold for, like, $100,000 or something. This is some ridiculous thing. So... It's so, and that's what is exciting to me is like the ability to support creatives and art and in a very non-traditional way that involves the blockchain, which I think is, you know, look, it's crazy and I don't know why anyone would do it, but like you said, like you could resonate with someone's work. And this is a way for you to kind of invest in that person and also invest in yourself and get an asset at the same time. I mean, you could buy something for as little, maybe it's like 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 bucks.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So
have you ever seen the Fran Lebowitz, Martin Scorsese thing on Netflix?
I saw bits and pieces of it.
Well, she was talking about, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very interesting. I'd never heard of her. I thought...
You never heard of her?
I confused her with Annie Leibovitz, who was the photographer.
Yes, the famous... Yeah.
Fran Lebowitz, I didn't realize, was a writer. I guess I'd kind of vaguely heard of her, but she's like the quintessential New Yorker. She's lived there for...
Quintessential New Yorker.
Very funny. I've never actually, I don't think, read anything by... Maybe I did in passing. Anyway, she was talking about things like, you know, bidding on art and whatnot. And they had a clip. It was a Picasso on, you know, at, what is it, Christie's? Is that the big auction house?
Christie's, yeah.
And
yep.
It sold for like $170 million. And she said, you know what? When they brought the painting out and announced it, Picasso's blah, 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 dead silence. When they announced the price, everyone burst into applause. It's like...
Oh, really?
Wouldn't you applaud the painting? Like, how, but because that's the thing, no one really cares about that. Like, if that painting sold for $500, it's amazing how people would think it's not worth anything if it sold for $500 as opposed to
well, the whole irony of that stuff is, like, after the artist dies, their work goes through the roof.
I know.
You know, it's like when they're alive. And that's what I don't also understand about, like, avant-garde. What do they call the art?
Abstract.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like
abstract. Like, there was like a banana that was nailed to a wall, right?
Or nailed to the wall.
Or taped, and it sold for like $170,000.
That's
like,
what I'm trying to get in on. That's what I'm trying to.
I'm trying to get in. That's where we have to get in on. The Working Experience art.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I just bought this thing called the Skull Shaver, which is amazing.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Because our listeners can't see us, but I shave my head. And this thing, you know, I was always...
And this, it's like fits in your hand, right? And you just go around?
Fits in your hand. It's got four rotating blades.
No nicks?
Nope. Just all around the skull. See, now the thing I don't understand, there was one for like $30. There was one for $90. And then one for $200. So I thought, well, let me buy the $90 one. And that's great. I can't figure out what the difference, the $110 difference would be between the $90 one and the $200 one.
Well, you got to get the $200 one.
I know, I'm very tempted to. But I got to tell you, but I think we could turn the skull shaving into some sort of NFT, some sort of piece of abstract art. A video of me... Skull
like
shaving
that.
My head.
Something I like that.
Or some other...
How often do you do it?
Well, now I'll do it a lot more because it was always such a pain to get the clippers out and because it's got a cord.
So do this. Like, tape yourself every day.
Skull
shaving. And we're going to sell that.
Yeah.
We're going to sell it.
Or I could shave another part of my body.
Or you can buy an NFT for Matt not to shave another part of his body.
There's a lot of ways we could go with this. A lot of ways we could
A lot of avenues. A lot
of
avenues.
Very tantalizing, I would have to say, to our listeners and perhaps viewers, you know, perhaps viewers. All right, folks. So, you know, consider the NFT. Maybe it could be a little investment opportunity for you. I wouldn't say... Don't liquidate your 401k and put $200,000 onto a song or
do
clip,
it and be on the lookout for NFTs from the Working Experience.
Oh, definitely.
I'm sure our lawyers are going to have to get involved, but the NFTs coming from the Working Experience are sure things.
Oh,
they're like 10,000 extra money in maybe a couple of weeks.
Let me throw this out there with a large legal asterisk next to it. Asterisks. I guarantee you a 500% increase in your investment in the first 2 days. Guaranteed. Please.
Yeah, our legal team's going to have to review that statement, but I like it.
Our lawyer sits there listening to things going, oh my God, what did he just say? is this going to be the same with those pills? they were Tic Tacs. They were Tic Tacs.
The pills. Yeah, they're harmless and they got the job done. Look, if you believe it, so be it.
Yeah, it's not a lie if you believe it. I mean,
it's not
okay,
a lie.
We misfired a little bit with the pep pills. We misfired a little bit with the weight loss pills. We misfired a little bit with the shakes, with the protein drinks, with the soap, with the toothpaste. We've had a few misfires, sure, but you know.
I love the term misfire.
It's a misfire, you know.
It's just a misfire. No harm, no foul.
I mean,
it's a misfire.
I know when you court certain ugly terms like fraud.
Yeah, you're going to hold us to the letter of the law. Come on. It's a misfire. Judge. It's a misfire.
It's a misfire. I mean, we're entrepreneurs. We're trying to, you know, help the economy here. I mean, my God, it's the sacrifice we've made, you know. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. And stay tuned for more upcoming episodes, which will help brighten your day and fatten your wallet.
Ooh, I like that. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.